You're listening to the Comic Crusaders Podcast. I am your host, Al Mega, CEO of Comic Crusaders and Undercover Capes. In this show, I'm sitting down with creators from all walks of life to talk about inspiration, process, the lessons they've learned, and a whole lot more.
Well, what up, man? This is your boy, Al Mega. Welcome to a brand new Comic Crusaders Podcast. Yep. Yo, what a great opening to the year. We're talking to now with amazing folks. And yet again, today is one of those days. Let me tell you, we're talking to some creators that got a duo, creative duo here. They got a book coming out in March from Dark Horse Comics, all right? That you're going to love. I mean, listen, it's monsters, it's tech. They're going to tell us all about it. I got some images to show. Even got a little teaser even. So first, and let me tell you right now who they are. First up, before I even bring them up, this is who they are. We have an award-winning and Eisner Harvey nominated writer, and sometimes artist, Mr. Ram V, an illustrator, concept comic book artist, all right? Evan Cagle. Wepa. What's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
Good. You'd have a second career, Al, as a wrestling announcer if you wanted to.
I was going to say, Al, did you get your start in wrestling? That was a legit intro.
It's because you guys rock. You guys get me inspired, man. When I talk to awesome people, I just feel the energy because you are out there fighting the good fight, bringing us some good stuff. You know, in the comment, and look, with the name like Ram V, and then even Evan Cagle sounds like some big dude wrestler. You know what I mean? Because he's the man of mystery at the moment, folks, as you can see.
Yeah, actually, it's just that I'm so big that I'm taking up all of the camera. That's what
Is that a pun? He's Batman. Oh, shit. I wanted him nowhere to live. He's going to find out anyway. He's Batman. All right. So actually, you know, thanks for hanging out. I mean, Dark Horse hooked it up. A big shout out to a man with a Chris Bertrand Wepa from Dark Horse. You guys hooked up as a creative duo over here to introduce a new book called, Dawn Run, right?
Yep.
And y'all about to smash it. It's tech. It's monsters, all that good stuff. But those that just don't know, you know, we, the Comic Crusaders, love our good little origin story. And this is you guys, our first time, you know, guest on the show. So I need to know. So I'm going to start with my man, Ram, over here. I mean, St. Evan is the man of mystery. Yeah, we'll leave him for a second then. You know, keep the mystery going, if you will. So, Ram, where are you OG from? And what was the first thing that you ever fell in love with in fandom raw?
Well, I'm originally from India. And I'm now in the UK by way of Philadelphia and New York for about 6 or 7 years. And I guess I fell in love with stories probably watching animated shows as a kid. So the Batman animated show was a pretty big one back in India when I was a kid. And the Spider-Man animated show, the X-Men ones. So animation was really my first sort of gateway into all of this.
Okay.
And I only sort of picked up and found comics later on when I was maybe 19, 20 and someone.
Really?
Yeah. First volume of Sandman. And that kind of blew my mind.
Whoa. What a good thing to give you. Jesus Christ. Yeah. That's a great way to start. Yeah. Cause it's so different. That's what I like to do to people too, to do something different. Not the traditional superhero stuff. Here's something.
I mean, it's weird. Like my intro to a lot of the superhero stuff was them appearing in Sandman. So, I mean, obviously I knew of Batman before and all of that, but you know, like Metamorpho appearing in Sandman or like John Constantine appearing in Sandman. That was the first I read of those characters. And then I tried to read everything Gaiman had done and then found that he had been recommended to Karen Berger by this writer called Alan Moore. So I was like, all right, let's see what Alan Moore has done. So pretty much my entire comics introduction was reading mostly the best of comics in a lot of ways and reading Vertigo mostly. So when I started reading the actual superhero stuff, I was like, okay, but it's not Vertigo.
Yeah. Gotcha. All right. And to the man of mystery, Mr. Evan Cagle. Let us know, you know, where you OG from and what's the first thing you fell in love with in overall fandom?
So I'm originally from Texas.
All right.
And I live in Paris now.
Buddy, yeah.
I guess probably my answer is probably about the same as Rahm's. Fell in love with animation first and then comics second. But yeah, my introduction to comics was nowhere near as classy as Rahm's was. I came across a garage sale in my neighborhood where someone was selling 4 or 5 long boxes worth of comics for $10. And I begged 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 and I got $10 for my mom. And so I bought
10 long boxes. Listen, not to cut you off, but even my mom would realize $10 for that many books, you better sell them. She knew I was a hustler. $10 within 5 minutes, you know?
Yeah. Well, so I don't know. I don't know if this guy had died or gotten married, and this was like, you know, the wife telling him to get rid of this stuff or what the deal was. But all of the comics in these long boxes, these things predated me by at least 10 years. There was nothing in the box that was within 10 years of where we were. Oh, and so I just read the hell out of everything in those boxes. And it was, you know, it was a lot of weird indie stuff. In fact, actually, weirdly, Rahm, that was my first introduction to Alan Moore, because his first Swamp Thing stuff was in there. Mm. So that's how I came across him. And I was like, oh, that's amazing. Yeah. So I just sort of got thrown in. And
then you were an X-Men guy at some point too, right?
Because, yeah. Eventually, yeah. I found my way back to the modern stuff. But yeah, that was my first education with comics.
I think everybody definitely at one point, you know, was into X-Men at one point, hardcore. You know, when you had Claremont, Burr, and all them people touching them books, I mean, it was some legendary stuff going on. But I follow the mutant storyline. For me, it was like, whoa, what is going on here? Y'all murdering all these guys? But the old one, not the new one.
Yeah. No, I think that's probably where I came in, was like Mutant Massacre, right? It was good stuff.
Yeah. So Rahm, how'd you get then, you know, into your creative roles as well? I mean, you know, how did you start stepping into the journey? What even inspired it?
Well, so reading Sandman was a big deal at that age. And I had always been sort of creatively inclined. So I was drawing, writing stuff as a hobby pretty much since I was 12. And then I was studying to be a chemical engineer at the time. And I got a master's in chemical engineering. I worked as a chemical engineer for a good 6-7 years. And then 2023, I quit and I decided I wanted to write, because I'd been writing that whole time. And I could feel like, you know, I don't want to be 60 and look back and go like, I wish I had done the other thing that I actually enjoyed. So I quit. I started writing. I had a few things already published by then, so I knew I had some measure of talent. And yeah, I moved to the UK to study creative writing. It was a two-year course. I got a master's in creative writing, and I put together my first graphic novel then. It was called Black Mumba. We crowdfunded that one, and that was kind of my doorway into creating. I sent that book out to editors, sent it to Eric Stephenson at Image, and the next year I had an Image book, sent it to Jamie Rich at DC, and I think a couple of years on I did my first Batman story at DC. So yeah, when it started happening, it happened quite quickly, which is always a nice sort of reassurance, like, okay, cool, you're not the only one who thinks your stuff is decent.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, that must have been interesting, like, to work on sort of like the visual detective comics. I must have felt like, whoa, I'm hitting like these big boys already.
I mean, yes and no. I don't, because I didn't read a lot of comics as a kid. Okay. I read some of them, but I have no idea when people say like, oh my God, you're on detective comic. I mean, I get it that, like, conceptually, I get it. It's the longest running title. It's the title that the company's named after. But in the end, yeah, it introduced Batman, right? But in the end, it's a book. It's a story. Yeah. And it's a blank page. And that blank page is far more intimidating than anything else.
God. Oh, damn. All right.
It's the truth.
let's get into that story. I mean, do you feel the same? Talk about your journey, man. How did you step into the game?
Yeah, first off, that blank page is terrifying for you.
Where?
Yeah, so I wanted to get into comics. I wanted to get into comics, you know, sort of straight out of high school kind of thing. And so this was back in the pre-internet days. And so I sent stuff off in the post and, you know, waited for weeks, you know, holding my breath, waiting to see what anybody had to say. And like, nobody got back to me. And then finally, like 6 months later, I got a letter. It was like, thanks so much for your submission. We're not interested. And it was like, oh man, really? Like, come on. This was what I wanted.
Before you move, may I ask, would you have preferred no answer at all or at least the email that, you know, that slaps you?
Now definitely the email that slapped me. At the time, I was like, oh, why'd you have to go and close the door? So I didn't know what to do then. So I went into games and I spent years in the game industry, just working my way up as a concept artist to an animator to an art director. And so my actual journey into doing comic book art began with sort of a chance meeting with Joe Madd, who had seen some of my game art, and he was like, oh, why don't you do comics? And I'm like, shut your mouth. I wanted to do comics like 20 years ago. What are you talking about? But he was super supportive and
like,
yeah, kind of gave me some courage to try it again and go back out there. And I found people were a lot more receptive the second time around. So I must have gotten better in the intervening years.
You think? And this is the second time I hear Joe Madd from somebody's mouth, you know, being like someone that has been out there to help. So, you know, shout out to Joe Madd. That's great. So
I don't know what I ever did to get on that dude's good side like that, because he's never been anything except absolutely generous.
You know what it was? He was probably very scared. You went there hooded with a stocking on your face. He was intimidated. He's like, I got to give this guy ever to die. I got to see his face one day. He's trying to earn it. I gotta ask you guys here, and be honest. I'll go to you, Evan, here, and I gotta go to Ron to see if he's telling me the truth. So, Evan, what is the story of the promance between you and Ron over here to work on? Well, I got a teaser. As soon as you guys talk about this, I got the teaser. Then we're gonna bring up some awesome images.
All right. As I recall it, I came across his book Graffiti's Wall a few years back, and I was blown away by it. And for some reason, nobody I knew had read it, and it was driving me insane. And on Twitter, I was seeing all sorts of stuff about it, but it was like, you know, it was like reviews and stuff like that. But nobody that I knew was actually reading it. And so everybody that I came across, I was like, have you read this? You've got to read this. This is an amazing thing. And so I started following him, and I think at some point we wound up in the same thread and, you know, commenting on the same great or terrible thing, whichever it was, and started chatting, and yeah, sort of took it from there. And I think I must have made a fool of myself and said something along the lines of, I would do anything to work with you in the future.
I don't think you ever said that. Your memory of this is clearly much worse than what actually happened.
I feel like I must have said something like, you know, I really love your work and I'd love to do something. I mean, I can't imagine why else you would have said, you know, hey, let's make a book together.
Ron, you said this is far. It was in the air, possibly. Who knows?
No, actually, weirdly enough, I had found Evan's work and I had seen it long before he got in touch with me. I had seen this illustration that he did called Golgotha, which is this slender guy, young man, standing in front of this giant mech, kind of all obscured by fog and dust and whatnot. And I took one look at that and I was like, this guy is amazing. This whoever this Evan Cagle is, their work is amazing. And then clearly my comic book creator brain went into overdrive and I found his website. I looked through his Instagram. So by the time Evan got in touch to say, hey, I love your work, I was like, yes, I have been on your website for 16 hours straight.
I've been trolling all your stuff, figuring you out, the story you're going to make.
Stalking.
It was funny because most of Evan's work at the time was just these beautiful but single illustrations, right? But on his website, in one like corner, there's a small comic book that he had done. I think it's like, I don't know, 10, no, maybe like 15, 16 pages, something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
And so I went through that and I read it and I was like, what? This guy can do comics as well? Why isn't he already like doing all the comics out there? And that was kind of the way I found Evan and Evan's work. And so when he reached out, it was a total no-brainer. I had already talked about this idea of doing something with mechas and kaijus. So in my brain, I was already like, oh man, I wish Evan and I could work on this book. And then, you know, lo and behold, hey, Evan and I can work on this book.
Hey, wonderful. So first I have a teaser here, and then I'm going to bring up a dope PowerPoint so you can check out all the dope covers. Because again, this is available for pre-order now. You got to go to your shop to get this going. If you got those previews, get it going. For it's everywhere. Make sure you put this on your pull list. Check it out. Yeah, man, a nice little tease. I mean, look at that cover right there. Yeah, look at those colors. Look at that cover. What the heck is going on? I'm messing with stuff. Let me tell you, because man, I'm a big Godzilla fan, Monster fan, Pacific Rim fan, and if you are telling me you are bringing all this shit together, oh my effing god! Please, how much money you need?
We'll take cover price.
Yeah, look at this. So explain to us, please, the world of Dawn Runner. That's coming up again, folks, available in your store, in the shop in March, right there below. You can see, you know, they're going to be March 20th is the drop day. So right now, they're available for pre-order. So make sure they're going to drop digital and physical, baby. This is 1 of 5. Woo!
Yep, they're oversized issues as well. So you get 30 pages with each one. Yep.
Chunky.
Ooh.
Sorry?
Gordita. She's like gordita.
That's right. Little fat one.
So yeah, they're nice, beautiful issues. And in terms of the story, the basic premise is something that a lot of people will be familiar with. There's a giant portal that opened up over southern central America about a century ago, and these humongous monsters called Tetsas started coming through. And in our first encounter with them, we had no way to fight back, so they nearly decimated us, until the world kind of got together and these tech corporations were born. They developed the first of the mechs that are called Iron Kings. And the Iron Kings went to war against Tetsa. And this war has been ongoing, with no side garnering any manner of victory for nearly 100 years. All of this region has been cordoned off by a wall. And it's almost like gladiators fighting inside a ring, except they're several hundred feet tall and obviously monsters and mechs. And so that is the world that our story is set in. But without giving too much detail, our story begins with the most sort of popular... Oh, this gladiatorial combat has become like a popular pastime as well. People watch it like sports. And our story begins when the first sort of top-ranked mech pilot, she is supposed to be piloting a new prototype Iron King called Dawn Runner. And the technology that is used to create Dawn Runner is top secret and is slated to turn the tide in humanity's favor. yeah, that's the setup. I think from there, you should read and find out where the story goes. Suffice to say, yes, it's mechs and kaijus, but it's also romance, drama, ghost story.
Body horror.
Yeah. So the way I pitched this was I said, I wanted to do something like Pacific Rim, but also bring in elements of something like Arrival, the digital movie. And so, yeah, I think it's a mix of those kinds of aesthetics, those kinds of things that I really enjoy about this kind of grand scale, big sci-fi action stories, if you will.
So, Evan, man, how do you feel being approached to do something on this scale, man, of monsters, robots, you know, and Dark Horse Comics with Rom, too, you know what I mean? This must be an amazing feeling.
I mean, yeah, look at his pages. Do you really feel like he has any problem with scale?
Look at this. I know. Look, gorgeous. Gorgeous FMP.
Thank you.
Yo. Thank you. Yeah, I mean, again, I'm a big fan of nice panels, you know, story, you know, eye candy, if you will. Make my eye move. I want to see every damn corner of the page. So your letter was doing good job. Everybody's like murdering.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's
bringing their muchacho. Where were you at when you working on stuff like this? What did you go? What are you listening to, bro? Like, for real, to get it, this mental plane. Geez, I mean, look at this. I mean, or is Ron just that good in telling you this is how it should look?
I mean, it's a little bit of column A and a little bit of column B, frankly. I think
I write three sentences. Evan takes a lot longer to do these pages.
No, it's true. I do take a long time. But no, I mean, I got to say, if it looks good, if it looks compelling, then it's because we work good together. You know, it's not just me.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's really like being in a band, right? Like in the end, the reader is getting the song that you made and everyone's playing their part.
I'm a big fan of logos and symbols. What's going on here at the bottom, guys? Can you tease me?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about these corporations that kind of make the Iron Kings, and so countries and nations have dissolved, and the world's kind of just become these five massive corporations.
It's kind of now anyway, but yeah, keep going.
I mean, there might be some light political commentary there.
Yeah.
but yeah, no, and the world's political interests, social interests are driven by the corporation's commercial interests. This is, after all, a primetime TV show. People go home from work and they're most probably working to make these giant Iron Kings. They go home from work, they put on their TVs, they sit down and watch their Iron Kings go to battle against the Tetsas. Wow. So it's a produced TV program. Like you can see on the text balloons, on the chat balloons, it says IK4. That's IK Sports Channel number 4. So they're
Sports TV
show. Yeah. It's become this kind of gladiatorial combat, if you will.
Humanity always gets twisted somehow, doesn't it?
I mean, that's what we're here for.
Yeah. Hey, thank you guys for probably being fortune tellers. You know what I mean? It's Rom Stradamus and Eva Damas. So, things are going to pop off this way. Who knows? But again, look at this origin. Talk about the team, too, that you guys put together here overall. Because, I mean, it's gorgeous. Everything. Again, the artistry. I love the lettering. The coloring, everything is just like, wow, it just flows so well. Again, eye candy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the putting the team together took too much brain work. I've worked with Aditya since my very first comic book, and he's become, in the time, he's also become, I think, one of the premier letterers in comics now. And so, yeah, he's always been this good, and it shows in all of the work that he's done. And then for coloring, I confess, I always used to have massive trouble finding the right kinds of colors for the right kinds of artists. But with this one, we managed to like get in touch with Dave Stewart and say, hey, Dave, do you want to color this? And I mean, you've got Dave Stewart. You don't have to worry about anything else. And so Dave's work has been exceptional. And it's just been like a real pleasure watching Evan and Dave collaborate with each other. Like, they both know exactly what they're doing. Evan knows the kind of stuff that he wants. And Dave's such a consummate professional in terms of knowing how to work with this artist rather than, you know, having a less malleable point of view, if you will.
So, Evan, man, how do you feel working with a legend like that on your artwork?
Oh, man, yeah. Yeah, he's great. Because really, no matter what I ask of Dave in terms of color, he's like, oh, yeah, I know what you mean. I never get a question mark from him. It's always an exclamation point. You know what I mean?
Kaboom. Yeah. Entiendo. Well, I mean, listen, this book is driving for, but listen, the car easy. I've been showing it off, but also right in your face right here, because the links are also below, because you can follow my man Ram on X at the right, Ram on his website, ram-v.com. You can follow Evan on X as well. Yeah. I'm trying to get you to say X. We're trying to respect the homie, man. Yeah, guys, I'm going to keep on it, Twitter. But it's all good. Fine. You know,
every I mean, to me, it's still Twitter. To me, I still call them blue words. I don't know what this X thing is.
What is X's? Right? The only X's you know
yeah,
is.
Yeah, another corporation driving their interests.
We got to make a meme out of that. So, right, you can follow Evan as well on Kegel_Evan on X and then the website, evankegel.com. All right. But folks, you know, most importantly here, this is what I need you guys to do is to go visit that shop because this book is arriving. It's number 1 of 5. Boom, Dark Horse Comics, all right? So, your favorite comic shop should be having this. But you know what? Just put it on your pro list. Make sure you ask for it now, all right? It's available for pre-order right now. Show the love, you know, to this amazing team, amazing book that's dropping. So, what up? So, do you have more in store after the 5, if possible? Or is this just a one-and-done 5-issue series? Or you just wait and see type? What's popping here? Because, again, people are loving this type of stuff now. With Godzilla popping off the way that it is, you know, people are loving Pacific. Even that last, the cartoon was effing fire to me. I need more of this stuff. You know what I mean? Superhero, I'm enough. I give me robots and monsters fighting one another, please.
Yeah, I mean, I think Evan and I keep having this discussion of like, Evan's like, I'm pretty sure you're going to have more story to tell after the 5 issues. In fact, Evan at one point was like, I'm pretty sure you're going to come back and tell me to do a 6th one, aren't you? Dark Horse will not like that. but no, I think the way it's structured, I think 5 is a good stopping point. And if we just made 5, and we put it out there, it would be a complete story. And it would be, there would be payoff for people who picked up issue 1 and read all the way to issue 5. It'd be a satisfying story. But it also leaves our story in a place where, you know, a year down the line, we say, cool, let's do a volume 2. We could come back, pick up right where we left off and do, you know, another 5 issues, another 6 issues, something like that. And so it leaves that possibility open, certainly. I've done the kinds of stories where I don't think I would do more issues, like something like The Savage Shores or Blue and Green is like one and done, culminated at the end kind of story. Whereas this one, I certainly think we could very easily come back to it.
And it's a big world too. I mean, that's the other thing. There's a lot of stories to tell in it.
I mean, and a lot of things that we touch on, like the corporation stuff, the politics of it. We touch on here, but largely the story is focused on the characters, on the pilot, on the mech, on the what's happening with her life, what's happening in the mech. And so we don't get to explore the world beyond that too much in these kind of first five
issues. Give me the villain story. Right now, the villain story is everything, man. Give us those villains. Give us the bochinche, man.
Well, we'll see. We'll see if the person you think is the villain is still the villain by the end of this. So I think there's a lot to be explored.
If I love villains so much, I'm telling you, man, my soul is full of them. I love them. All right, so. I need to know what's in store for 20 24 for you guys? Besides the dope book that's dropping in March. I mean, Ron, what's in store for you? Anything you could drop on us at any convention that you're gonna, we could be able to hang out with you, ask you some questions and get some cool signatures on our dope books?
Yeah, I mean, I've got, actually, this year is probably going to be an incredibly busy year. I've got, 8-9 more issues of Detective. I've got a couple of other creator-owned books. Rare Flavors from Boom is still ongoing. I'm launching The One Hand and the Six Fingers, that Image, with fellow writer Dan Waters and then Lawrence Campbell and Subit Kumar as well. And so there's going to be a lot of books out in 2024. And therefore, I would be foolish not to go to conventions and show my face once in a while. I will probably be at San Diego and New York, which are the two conventions I kind of do on a regular basis. And I'll probably do one more somewhere in between. But when we figure that out, I will be sure to shout out on Twitter and my website and all of the places that I'm present on. But yeah, I'm very excited. And then there's obviously more DC stuff coming as well, some of which hopefully Evan and I are working on together. But if I say more, then, DC's assassins will jump through my mind.
I felt the heat of the DC assassins, once in my life. So yeah, and enough for me, but men has become allies. So yeah, that's why, we're good now. We're good now. How about you, man? What's popping for the rest of 2024 for you? I mean, what headlines are we going to be making with you, and what cons are you going to make appearances at? And will it be in costume with the black mask, or what are we doing?
I mean, yeah, I don't want to say too much. I was born in the darkness. No.
Please squeeze a hand coming through a table. You'd be under the table the whole time.
That's right. That's where he is now.
So I've got covers galore and finishing up Dawn Runner, and it's a little shameful. I'm like a writer, I can't do as many projects in a year, but yeah, we got some good stuff cooking, and
hopefully I'll
be able to throw in a little bit of a holiday in there at some point, maybe just a month to catch my breath.
Maybe. That's just maybe. All depends, because Ram, as soon as you're about to take off, he's going to give you another juicy idea. And we shit. All right.
I don't even wait till he's ready to take off. He's working on this book. I'm already like bitching you four others,
It's every day. I got another one. No, Ram, I'm never going to take a break.
Jokes aside, I'm also the kind of person who's just like, I have an idea today. I need to tell someone about it. And usually it's Evan. Like, usually I'll just message him and be like, oh, I'm doing this thing. We should talk about it. Yeah.
Yeah. I love it, man. But see, that's what makes a great team. I share, each other's ideas. When I work together, it's wonderful. And it shows here again, because the book looks beautiful. I cannot wait to this drop. Folks, make it happen. Go to your shop, pull this time, come say a seal of approval. It's already on the corner of the main image. All right. Don't you worry. So before we go, just a question, it's a typical question, but it's a question that gotta be asked. I want to hear from you guys. So start with Evan here. From an artist standpoint, what would you say to kids trying to step into the game now?
Don't take no for an answer.
Ooh.
Yeah, for sure. I took no for an answer, and I waited way too long. I should have been doing this years ago.
Look at that. Short and sweet. Don't take no. All right. How about you, Ron? What would be your advice to an up and coming writer trying to step into the game?
Ignore the hustle. Do the work. I think a lot of people coming into the industry, coming into creative mediums right now, think it's all about networking and meeting editors and being at every con and tabling and jumping out in front of people and selling their books. You can avoid all of that by just making something that when people read it, they go, whoa, I love that. And so good work is like your best calling card. You don't have to have all the gimmicks and all the hustle if your work is good. And so, yeah, that would be my one piece of advice, is do unambiguously good work.
Basically, show and prove people, get it done, have something done, and, you know, and let people judge for themselves.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's true that, I mean, networking is nice to know people, but it's true that you got to have something, you know, and prove what you got out here, prove that worth, you know, why you need to be in this space and getting this wonderful opportunity. Because, I mean, look at Ron's world behind them. Holy shit, bro. What is going on?
That's all the books I've worked on.
What is soft? What?
those are covers of all the stuff that I've worked on. There's Graffiti's Wall that Evan talked about. And then there's Layla Star that Evan did the cover for. Dawn Runner's up there as well. So, yeah, that's all the stuff I worked on.
He gets his voice to his room. Hold on, fellas. Yeah, what's that? It's just all the stuff I did. Excuse me, hold on.
And also, like, it's a great motivator for people watching the show. Please go out and pre-order this book so that I can fill up all of these empty spaces.
You got two more corners right up there that need some filling already. Yeah. That's though. I think that, though, it's true. It's a way to stay inspired and motivated, because when you look back and see all the work you guys have done, I mean, it definitely must be awe-inspiring. Like, wow, we've done all that already.
I'm the kind of young, so there's
so much more to come. Jeez.
I'm the kind of person who puts his head down and does the work, and I don't really like go back and look at my own work with nostalgia and go like, man, wasn't that great? So this becomes kind of a way for me to just turn around every day and go like, cool, I'm making stuff. That's good.
Yeah, and with some iconic characters. And some new ones as well, making some new legendary characters, if you will, with other stuff. So this was great, man. You're so diverse in your time, both of y'all. So again, as a fan, to creators, just thank you for what you do. I appreciate it. Thank you for pulling your time out there and being bold and brave enough to do it. Because so many people talk shit, and I hate this. Guess what? You guys don't have the courage to put out your product. So, you know, unless you're doing that, don't talk shit about anyone that's putting it out and putting them their artistic, you know, so out on the line like that. You know, that's a different frequency, folks. You better chill. Good shit, man. Yeah.
I mean, yes, but also just like, you don't like what you see, just make stuff. Make more stuff. I think the world is always a better place when people stop talking and start making stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Show and prove, baby. Show and prove. Okay, Ron, I knew your comic of when we see each other, and you too, Evan. We got to have a beer sign, bro. That's what I'm calling you guys, the show and prove team. You know? Y'all don't like this, get it done, baby. Show and prove, doing that. All right, folks. Man. Again, Ron, Evan, thank you so much for hanging out with me. Talking comics, talking Dawn Runner. In March, folks, pre-order right now. Check out the rest of my extended family, you know, like No Price Podcast, the Friend of Crusade, Outside the Panels, and so much more. Appreciate you guys. Hasta la próxima. ¡Wepa!
Thank you for listening to the Comic Crusaders Podcast. If you like the content, please subscribe and turn on notifications. Also, please visit ComicCrusaders.com and our extended podcast family over at UndercoverCapes.com. And also, make sure to download the Comic Crusaders app on the Google Play Store today.